This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Super Bowl, a day away. We've talked about some of the NBA stuff going on, but the Super Bowl is now, we are on the eve. So that's been the topic of conversation for the last hour or so. And one word to describe the Patriots seems to have you guys involved. And I thought it would, because it's tough. That's like it's a tough one, because I think some people have to check what their initial response is, what they want to say, and then say what they actually think when it comes to New England. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Bob in Chicago? Bob, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, yeah. If I use one word to describe the Patriots, I would say unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I would say that is, look, love them or hate them, you know, what they've done is something that you just don't. I mean, I live in Chicago. I saw the Bulls win three championships in a row. I saw the Blackhawks win three titles in 6 years. I saw the Cubs do something I never thought I'd ever see done. But this is unprecedented. This is almost two decades of the same coach and quarterback going at a Super Bowl nine times. That does not happen. So love them or hate them, the term I would use would be unprecedented.
I can't argue with that. I agree. That's a good assessment. I mean, I would totally agree with that. How about Jeff in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania? Jeff, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, if I had to use one word to describe the Patriots, I would say excellence. Because as Bob just said, you know, love them or hate them, you know, what this team has done is just, it's remarkable. And I tell you what, you know, I know that people will make this argument about, you know, they've done things to get a competitive advantage or whatever the case may be. But you know what? At the end of the day, the NFL is a tough game, you know, and my thinking is this here. You know, if you can do that and you can get a competitive advantage, you know what? Do it. I'm a Cowboys fan. I wish my Cowboys would step up their game a little bit. So that's how I feel about that.
I mean, well, I think everyone wishes their team was the Patriots, right? Like, that's why.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what it is. You can't hate on them. You just wish that your team were the Patriots.
Well, you know what? You can, again, the way I put it, Jeff, is I can hate them. I can't hate on them. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, there are things about them I find hateable, but I cannot hate on what they've done. There's a difference.
You know, let me say this one last thing. You know what? My Cowboy fans, this is the exact same thing that all of my fellow Cowboy fans said we would be if Jimmy Johnson had stayed.
Well, look, the Cowboys, man, in the 90s were up until the Patriots, the most impressive run I had seen. But the longevity of what the Patriots have done has surpassed what was more dominant from the Cowboys, I think, in a more concise stretch. How about Shane and Clemson? Shane, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, how are you, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So consistent would be my word. And I'm going to use an analogy that is very near and dear to my heart, and you're going to think it's absolutely insane. It's pecan pie. Okay?
Okay.
Pecan pie. So if you ever tried to bake a pecan pie?
I have not.
It's hard to do. Okay. They'll be runny one time, solid the next, the way they're supposed to be. If you don't get the ingredients exactly right every single time, it's just not going to set up correctly. Now, the nuts on top, the pecans, it's hard for nature to do that wrong. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, they're the nuts on top. You just throw them on top, and everything's going to work as long as the ingredients inside are done exactly right, if you mix them exactly properly. So they're extremely consistent in my mind. They've got the two nuts on top, Brady and Belichick, everything else underneath, They're consistent in what they do. It's not always the best ingredients in the world, but they're always consistent and they always work together. I would venture to say that Dabo is doing that down here in Clemson, but that's another story. There's another part about this consistency, though, Robin.
Okay.
And that is the cheating.
I actually followed your pecan pie analogy, so I'll let you continue. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What did you say about the pecan analogy?
No, it was fine. I said I was able to follow it, so I will let you continue. Okay, go ahead. What did you want to say about the cheating?
So when I say they're consistent, they're always the same. So if they were cheating, they probably still are.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, if it were found out tomorrow, you know, it's always, I'm always wondering what's going on in their headsets or what's happening in various things. Yeah, I would agree with that too. I say the best way I could put it, it's almost a testament to their greatness that no one cares they cheated. You know what I mean? Like when, Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds are kept out of the Hall of Fame in baseball, and that's a yearly scandal. It's just kind of funny to compare it side by side. How about Scott in Dallas? Scott, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, guys. First of all, I love your show, man. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, what I want to say was everybody's coming up with these different analogies, and they're great. And according to your last caller, it's pecan, not pecans. But anyways,
and you know, like I think that I'll let that slide wherever you could pronounce it, pecan, pecan, tomato, tomato. Like that's where you're at. He's from Clemson.
Yeah, no,
dog.
I know.
I'm not gonna tell somebody from down south how they're gonna pronounce pecan.
Anyways, what a lot of people ain't talking about is their scouting. I mean, I'm not a Patriots fan by any means. And I compare them a lot to Alabama, and I'm not an Alabama fan by any means, but those two teams are always on top. Alabama goes after the best high school kids, and they bring, hey, you want to come to number one team? Yeah, we'll go to Alabama, stay consistent, stay on top. Whereas the scouts go on to these college kids, hey, let's come to the Patriots, you know. Let's try to recruit this guy to the Patriots. Be a number one team, always be on top, you know.
Well, I think what they do is I identify talent. You know what? Where I would say it is, Scott, like a lot of scouts are looking for the most talented players, and there's competition there. I think what the Patriots do is identify specific talents. So when they move up to take Sony Michel in the draft, for instance, it's because they know
that was an awesome pick.
They know that they need somebody who can run the way that their offense is designed for just the running portion of it. And they say, all right, this guy can do that, so we're going to go get him. When they identify, again, James White, they think, all right, we need somebody who can catch the ball out of the backfield, our new Kevin Falk. They identify that guy, and they get him. When they need somebody to replace Welker in the slot, and they see what Edelman does, they identify that, and they get that guy. So I think Belichick knows what he needs to make his system work. So he identifies the personnel whose skill set fits each particular role and then just plugs them in. And he's very good at that. He's very good at identifying the skill set of a guy. Like, it's not just talent evaluating, because a lot of people are trying to talent evaluate and get the most talented players. I wouldn't say the Patriots have the collection of the most talented players, but they have a collection of players whose skills fit into what they're trying to do. Ed in Cleveland. Ed, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, how are you?
What's good, Ed?
Real quick, the one word I got is unbelievable. And it's probably not for what you think, because I believe my question is in a league where they say you can call holding on every single down, the Patriots didn't have one holding call in the playoffs this year. In the fourth quarter, when you got three challenges called, the Patriots seem to win every single challenge. They go 3-0 in challenges against the Chiefs. It just seems like this happens over and over for the Patriots, and that's where my one word, because they just seem to win every single call with the referees. And on the cheating thing, I'm with that female caller you had earlier, Tiffany. You know, I believe every single team cheats in the league, but once you're caught, it's all bets are off. You're a loser now.
Well, I mean, and like the idea that every single – people say that a lot, but, I mean, the Patriots have been caught multiple times. And all these other imaginary teams that are doing it are not caught. And then if you've been caught multiple times by that same – if you're going by the philosophy, I assume everyone else is doing it too. But then you must be doing even more than you're caught for. So I don't think it's fair to put other teams into the same boat as the Patriots when both their coach and their quarterback have their own unique cheating scandal. Joe in Atlanta. Joe, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey there.
What's going on, Joe?
Driving down to Atlanta right now to watch the game. Big Patriots fan. My word was pliable. And say what you will about Tom Brady's $200 cookbook, but the results speak for themselves. But the point that was made earlier.
Tom Brady's cookbook? Is that what we're talking about?
No. I'm going to talk about, how Tom Brady, named a receiver besides Randy Moss or David Gibbons, who's really been that great for Tom Brady. Patriots in particular, they take these guys like Wes Welker, who was a nobody in Miami, and turn into these potential Hall of Famers.
They put them in the, like I said before, they identify their skill set and their role, and they put them in a role to succeed. But I'm not going to take credit away from those guys because they're a great player. Like, Julian, look, as somebody who's rooted against the Patriots plenty in recent years, I know for sure that Julian Edelman is going to make that tough catch on third down every single time, and I hate him for it. So I'm not going to take the credit away from him for that. Same with Wes Welker.
Or is it Julian Edelman being a great receiver?
It's both. Okay. It's the Patriots realizing this guy, what he does best, fits our specific role. So they're going to maximize what he does best. Then that guy has to go out there and do it. They're not just magically, not just happening to any random schmo that they're putting in that role. So I don't think it's quite fair to, discount what Wes Welker or Julian Edelman or any of those guys have done in that role. I think the Patriots, like I said before, are good at identifying particular skills. I have a particular set of skills, right? They see that particular set of skills and they say, this is what you're going to do for our team. It's the inverse of Brady taking away, of Belichick taking away what you do best. What do the Patriots try to do to their opposing team? Make them play left-handed, right? They try to take away what you do best. With their players, they try to make them only do what they do best. It makes sense if you think about it that way. It's the complete counter of their strategy on how to neutralize the other team. Neutralize the other team, take away what they do best. Maximize our team, make you only do what you do best. Steve in Charleston, South Carolina. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Lundberg, how's Butters been doing?
Butters is annoying, but she's doing great. Butters is, playfully annoying. She was bumped from first to third on the depth chart so quickly. It was a little bit of an adjustment, so she's constantly battling for attention. Butters is my dog, for anybody who doesn't know. And I have two young children, and Butters was there first, though.
So, okay. Got a couple things, Lumber. I'm a fan of yours. Number one, the word would be Brady Chicory.
What does that mean?
Brady Chicory. Well, it's online with strategery, I suppose. So it's just another way of describing the craziness of the New England Patriots. As a Jets fan, I'm totally jealous of them. But I wish Brady were on my team. That's all I could say. But the last thing is, I was kind of looking, I know you do something with Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
I couldn't, really find it. So I was on Google, searching some stuff. Some pictures came up of your wedding.
Yeah.
And that was unbelievable.
Yeah. That was not me. It was it was an Indian wedding, so they sometimes do it real big. So I was definitely a participant. If you would like to see pictures of it, just Google me. You will find my work for Sports Illustrated, for CBS Sports Radio, and Indian weddings there as well. 855-212-4227. You can check out my outfit. if anybody wants to hear stories, I'll share them with you. That's cool. But yeah, I think it was in it was in some modern Indian bride magazine or something along those lines. But I had no part in the planning. I was just a player in the Belichick machine there. I was just told my role and I did my job. We're going to talk to somebody whose job it was to supervise NFL officials officials have been a big talking point. Jim Diapoulos, 12 years as NFL supervisor of officials, umpire for Super Bowl 33, joins me next. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Coldplay did the Super Bowl halftime not too long ago. A lot of controversy about the Super Bowl halftime this year. They didn't even let Maroon 5 talk during the week. Joining me now to talk, Jim Diapoulos, 12 years as NFL supervisor of officials. He was the umpire for Super Bowl 33. And Jim, is it safe to assume you are glad you weren't the supervisor of officials for the last 2 weeks?
I've got a really bad connection.
Oh, looks like you there, Jim? Can you hear me by any chance?
Hold on.
Anthony, why don't you try and call him back? In the meantime, I'll talk to Jay in Alaska. Jay, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's good?
Hey, my word is fraudulent. I believe, in my opinion, all of those championships are started in a fraudulent way, starting with the Tuck Rule. I mean, he has built his championships on other people's backs by cheating them out of Super Bowl opportunities, and it happened again with the Chiefs with that ridiculous tap on the shoulder.
So let me ask you, how did the Patriots cheat to get that called?
Well, not on that play, but I mean, it seems like they're always the beneficiary of some ridiculous call, which makes me feel like the fix is in. I mean, it's like the NFL wants to promote that team because he's the golden boy. And you know, well, starting with the Tuck Rule, the Raiders should have been in the Super Bowl. He would have never even got on this historic run of Super Bowl championships if they would have just
look. They
right?
did suspend Tom Brady 4 games for Deflategate and fought for like a year about that. So it's just like I've been saying all the show. Like, I can simultaneously believe that the Patriots are the greatest team I've ever seen, and that the Patriots have done some shady stuff in that same time period. Like, those two things can coexist at the same time. All right, I think we got Jim Diapoulos on the phone right now, 12 years NFL supervisor of officials. And what I was trying to ask you before, Jim, is I bet that you're happy you weren't the supervisor of officials for the last 2 weeks.
You know, Robin, it was probably a very difficult week for Al Riveron. And, you know, things like that happen, but it was just a really egregious mistake by the officials, and unfortunately, it was at a really inopportune time. So, no, I'm really glad I was not up in the league office at that time.
You know, if you were, would you be worried about how that could affect the performance of the refs going into this game? Or do you think, you know, these guys know what they're doing, they can put that past them? I mean, obviously, it's not the same group of people, but just the idea that the officials will be so closely watched in this game.
I would hope that John Perry and his crew, who are, you know, this is really an awfully good crew that they've put together for the Super Bowl. I would hope that they could put all that behind them and just take care of the game at hand. And I'm sure that they'll take care of this. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on this game. There's going to be people looking at them. And but that's what their job is, and they've done this before. So I'm sure they'll do an excellent job this weekend.
You were the umpire for Super Bowl 33. I think a lot of times one of the things we talk about in the sports media is the pressure of the Super Bowl. And I think sometimes you see those jitters for players when the game starts and the like. How's that like for an official? Because the moment is obviously big for you guys as well. What do you do to prepare to make sure that you're not affected by the moment?
You know, it's kind of interesting because the week leading up to the Super Bowl is really kind of tough. You know, you're trying to make arrangements, trying to put everything together, and all the preparation is a little bit more intense at this time. Once the game starts, you know, once you blow that first whistle or throw that first flag, it's just another football game. You know, you get concentrated. But during the week, when you're at the Super Bowl site and you're going through all the preparation and the media's there and you're running through, you know, your pregame activities, there's an awful lot of pressure. And I see that it's the same situation in the players. It's out of the normal routine, which is out of the normal routine for the officials as well.
Do you change the way you call the game at all? Is that a real thing, like where you let more go? Is that something that's talked about, specific things you're going to focus on? You know, what changes?
Well, absolutely not. You work the game as you would work any game, but I can tell you, you know, in watching Super Bowls over all these years, you know, when you get to this game, it's for some reason these players play a whole lot better. You see fewer fouls in the Super Bowl because they're on the bigger stage. The players understand the implications of, you know, of making a mistake or committing a foul at this point. They don't take the chances that they probably would take during the regular season or even in the playoffs. But you work the game as you would work any other game. And hopefully, as I said, the toughest games to really work are the championship games because, you know, these guys are going to – the winners go to the Super Bowl. The losers are done for the day, for the week. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to be as fair as you can. But there's a whole lot more pressure on the officials that are working the championship game.
Robin Lundberg talking to Jim Diapoulos, 12 years NFL Supervisor of Officials, umpire for Super Bowl 33 here on CBS Sports Radio. Back to the non-call for just a second. There's been a lot of talk about what should happen as a result of it. But the one thing I've sort of said is, I don't know if anything needs to change as a result of the call. I just don't understand how that call could be missed. We know there's human error, but that one was just so blatant, so egregious. Can you explain, is there any way to rationalize how it actually happened that way?
You know, to be really truthful, like, you know, I've looked at the play a number of times, and the line of scrimmage official had primary responsibility of Tommy Lee Lewis coming out of the backfield, and you know that's his responsibility 100%, and he should be staying with that player the whole time. Once the ball is thrown to is in the air, then you have about three or four sets of eyes that are going to that football to try to determine, you know, if there's any illegal action going on. I wish there was an easy answer to it, but it was just an absolutely blown call. It was eyes that saw the action and just determined that there wasn't a foul there. And, you know, I have not had an opportunity to talk to any of the officials. I haven't talked to anyone in the league office about it. I think this is one of those ones that everyone just kind of stuck the flag in their pants and did not take it out. And unfortunately, it made a really black mark for the officiating department up there.
Let's remove that play for a second because I wouldn't want to do it just based on that play. But are there changes that you would like to see enacted that you think would help the officiating overall?
You know, there's so much talk about improving instant replay, and I really think instant replay is a tremendous asset to the to officiating. It's an officiating tool that's available to the officials. But I'd like to see it expanded a bit. I'd like to see it expanded to assist on the illegal hits. I don't necessarily want to see instant replay on judgment calls because that's just the nature of the game. But when you're having illegal hits on defenseless players, and they happen so quickly that I think, given the opportunity, as they do in the college game, they allow the replay official to take a look at those types of hits. So I would like to see them expanded a little bit to include illegal hits on defenseless players, such as the quarterback, the receivers, et cetera, to be included in instant replay.
Jim, appreciate you taking the time this morning and appreciate your perspective, obviously, given your wealth of experience. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
I almost feel bad for Maroon 5, right? Like, they got hammered when they were chosen as the halftime act, and they've had an accomplished career. And in fact, what's the record that has, like, Sunday Morning and stuff on it? That's a good album. Songs About Jane, I think it's called. But they didn't... They didn't even have press availability this week because the NFL knew they'd be asked about Colin Kaepernick, right? And there's a lot of artists that turned the Super Bowl down. Most notably, Jay-Z turned the Super Bowl down. I said no to the Super Bowl. They need me. I don't need you. You know, we tell the NFL we in stadiums too.
Who's that?
Jay-Z. Yeah. Rihanna reportedly turned them down for the same reason. Travis Scott has caught some blowback in the hip-hop community for, you know, agreeing to perform with Maroon 5 as a result. And then just this week, we've seen, I think, both LeBron James and Kevin Durant sporting Kaepernick jerseys. So, like, the NFL was trying to avoid that PR hit they would have taken with Maroon 5. I mean, they even let Justin Timberlake talk last year, and somehow he wasn't asked about Janet Jackson, I don't think, or how he thought it was a good idea to release Man of the Woods. But nevertheless, Maroon 5 is just like chilling, and they're hiding out, and then they'll pop up for the halftime show.
Do you think they're big enough to do the Super Bowl? I feel like they're not at that like A-list level that the Super Bowl's always had.
Well, I mean, when you get down to the third choice or the fourth choice, you're going to get less big. No, but I think they're pretty big. I mean, Maroon 5 is a huge band. I mean, Coldplay, Maroon 5, it's kind of the same level, is it not? I like Coldplay, by the way, so don't count me as like, I think Coldplay's dope. Most of these, you know, acts, I think, do a pretty good job for the most part. I think people just like to hate on halftime performances or whatever because the internet's a fun. The last one that was, you know what was bad? That Imagine Dragons thing at the, that sucked. Whatever that was at the halftime of that was the college football national championship. Yeah, that looked like the performance that was picked by a focus group. That's what it sounded like.
Halftime Sunday, I'm switching over to the WWE Network. They're having a special halftime match, 6-man tag Sunday.
Who's fighting in that?
It's the WWE, the NXT.
They're yes. Developmental League or whatever it's called.
Oh, they're not development. These guys are well-established.
Well, I know, like, from the wrestling heads like them better, right? Because they're more pure wrestlers. But they're not in the WWE. So what do you call it?
They're not on the main roster.
Okay,
yeah.
So if not the developmental league, that's not a fair word to use? You just take offense because you're a...
It used to be developmental, but now they've taken guys that have been in the industry for, like, you know, 10 plus years in some cases. So it's hard to say that a lot of these guys are being developed.
What's the word for a wrestling fan who really knows what they're... I know there's a word, there's jargon for a wrestling fan who really knows what they're talking about, right? Like that's on the inside. You know what that is? Is it a smart?
Mark?
Well, a mark is the one who doesn't know what they're talking about, right? I think it's a smart and a mark. Don't tell Taz I said that. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. All right, time to make my pick for the Super Bowl. What's my overall record? Anthony, do not include the Saints loss in my overall record. I get to
You have to.
No, I'm striking that one
from
the record.
Well, including it.
I'm pulling rank. I'm striking that one from the record.
No, and I'm striking you down. 47-40-1.
So I just can't make 7 picks here. I have to make fewer than 7 picks to ensure a above 500 record. I will even sacrifice. I'm even going to sacrifice my record for trying to speak this into existence because I really kind of think the Patriots are going to win. All my instincts tell me, yeah, of course the Patriots are going to win. What are you, crazy? Yes, the Patriots are going to win. With that said, because I know I will finish 500 regardless, and I can't lose, I'm playing with house money, and I don't want the Patriots to win, give me the Rams. What's the spread in this game? Give me the Rams with the...
2.5.
2.5. Give me the Rams on the money line. I don't even want the points. Take the Rams on the money line.
You didn't even throw it to your music.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm too excited. Rams! Plus 2.5. I'm speaking into existence. I don't believe it. Take it with a grain of salt. I'm going to do some other prop bets. Whatever the prop bet is on whether they show the play from the NFC Championship game, they will not show that play. That is bet number 2. They will not show that play. The NFL has put the call into CBS. Don't show that play. I'll take the under on 49.5 as the longest touchdown in the game. I think the special teams or defense would have to score for that one to come true. So I will defer to that not happening. Of course, it could happen. But I do believe that it is unlikely that either offense winds up scoring a greater than 50-yard touchdown. The safe bet for MVP would be Tom Brady, but since I'm picking the Rams... Let's go Todd Gurley. That pays off a lot. That shouldn't even really count as a loss if you're picking prop bets like this. I mean, in fact, this segment doesn't quite work with prop bets because you can't, like, give me an L on a record for picking a prop bet randomly. I'll give you one more. I will go with Tails. It will be tails to start the game.
I'm confused. Why? Of course you can win or lose with prop bets.
Well, you can win or lose, but what's Todd Gurley to win MVP? Like plus 900? You think I should just be making those picks straight up? That's not fair.
Should you get 900 wins for if he hits that?
Yeah, I get 9 wins if he hits it versus 1 loss. That's how we'll play it. All right, so I know I'll finish above 500, and there you have it. I've gotten to everything. You know what? Let me get to a couple more callers before I get to another one. We're going to try and jam-pack a lot into this segment because you guys are on the line. I don't want to leave you hanging. Let's go
and
to
my voice hurts.
Yeah, and Anthony's voice hurts, so we'll keep another one short today. Jared in Erie, Pennsylvania, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Robin?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. The word that I was coming to mind was greatness when I think of the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know, whether or not you're a fan of them, you can't deny their greatness. And us being able to watch them in this day and age is like being able to watch other historical great figures like, I don't know, Babe Ruth or Michael Jordan, you know, at the apex of their careers.
Or LeBron James. Right. I mean, the fact that we're getting to see...
great.
We're getting the LeBron and Tom Brady at the same time, and you're arguably the GOAT of each sport simultaneously.
Some people would say Michael Jordan is still ahead of LeBron, like the great debate between Joe Montana and Brady before Brady.
Well, here's what I would
Montana.
Say to that. I, you're right. Plenty of people would say Michael Jordan. I think Brady is more of the consensus GOAT because you won't have people argue... People barely argue for anyone else. I don't even really hear Joe Montana arguments. I would argue that LeBron is greater than Brady because we've seen the Patriots without Brady, because of Belichick, really. And we've seen LeBron's teams without him, plus his influence beyond the game. But as far as being consensus great, it's more Brady. As far as who I think is greater and will have a more lasting impact, it's LeBron. Jordan in Columbia, South Carolina. Jordan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Not much. Yeah, the word I would use is, I was going to use greatness, but I think consistent is just a better word. Because, you know, like I said, hate them or love them. What they've been able to do with, like, have you ever seen The Replacements? Like, it's kind of like that for me. Like, I mean, other than Brady and Belichick.
But yeah,
like,
but I mean, Brady ain't no Shane Falco.
Yeah. like Edelman and Welker and Amendola for a while. And Hogan, never heard of that guy.
Yeah.
And they've just been able to recycle some of these players that have just been, I guess, technically used up. And, they kind of get a second shot because, you know, Brady makes him look great because he throws the ball to you. He expects you to catch it, so. You know,
we can't both throw and catch it. My husband cannot both throw and catch it. Patriots, you said you hate it or love it. You know, hate it or love it, the underdogs on top, as they would cast themselves as the underdog there. All right, I've gotten to a lot in the show. Let me get to everything I have not in another one. All right, Anthony, what do we got first?
All right, so Bill Self, the Kansas coach, of course, ripped the NCAA for the mean-spirited and vindictive Silvio DeSosa punishment. DeSosa was punished after his guardian took benefits from an agent. What do you make of the NCAA's handling of Silvio DeSosa?
I can't make anything of anything the NCAA does because, until the existential problem, until the problem that is at the root of all this is solved, what are we really talking about? You know, there is a huge student-athlete problem. I say that with quotation marks because they like to throw that out there. But we've now gotten past the point of no return where people are realizing how much of a huge multi-billion-dollar industry the NCAA and college athletics are. You know, that March Madness itself is a huge moneymaker. Obviously, the college football playoff system. So until, and I'm not even saying I have the answer, but until that is dealt with, until the root problem is dealt with, we're only dealing with the symptoms. And dealing with the symptoms ain't going to fix anything.
So Luke Walton's grasp on the Lakers coaching job looks like it has weakened significantly. Jason Kidd reportedly a candidate to replace Walton if he was let go. Would Kidd be a good fit for the Lakers?
That's an interesting one because Jason Kidd is a basketball genius. You know, there's a few guys I've seen play the sport who are clearly basketball geniuses. Magic Johnson was a basketball genius. LeBron James is a basketball genius. Jason Kidd is a basketball genius. It worked pretty well for him at the beginning of his coaching career. I thought he did a good job with the Nets. But then, inexplicably, he did a very poor job at the end of his time with the Bucks. And he's also had a history of, you know, rubbing some people the wrong way off the court. I would say I will table that for now, because I don't really know if Luke Walton's job is in jeopardy. Well, I'll believe that when I see it. I feel like the natural environment around LeBron is drama. We're always getting these various leaks from various places, and you don't know exactly what they're supposed to be. Until something actually happens with Luke Walton, I think that it's par for the course. Now, look, David Blatt was gone in Cleveland. It worked out well for them. Tyronn Lue came in. They won the championship. But other than that, there hasn't really been a huge coaching change with LeBron. I mean, Paul Silas was there early in Cleveland and then not. And then Mike Brown was gone in Cleveland, but that was the year LeBron was a free agent. I think a lot of time it's more noise than it is actual substance.
The Padres met with Bryce Harper in Vegas on Thursday. Reportedly, the goal for the Padres is to sign either Harper or Machado. Will either Harper or Machado end up in San Diego when it's all said and done?
I got to tell you, I haven't followed it closely enough to give you my well-informed opinion, but my instinctual opinion is no, just because I don't associate the Padres with signings like that. So that would be my quick answer.
And finally, it is Groundhog Day. And what movie do you think of, Robin? Of course, is Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day.
Oh, yes.
The great Bill Murray, 1993, romantic comedy. What's your favorite Bill Murray film?
Yeah, okay. Let me think about that for a second. My favorite Bill Murray film. He's been in a lot, and he's had little bit parts, too. Let me make sure I get this correct. I will have time. Oh, come on, computer. I'm IMDBing to make sure I don't give the wrong answer for this. Anthony always catches me off guard. His questions at the end are always good. They're always good questions because I have to think about it. It's not Caddyshack. I don't like Caddyshack. I think Caddyshack is severely overrated.
Ghostbusters
is probably the answer. You know what? No. It's one of those Wes Anderson movies. I like those movies a lot. Moonrise Kingdom. That's my sleeper one of late, along with Ghostbusters, which obviously is a classic. Those would be my two picks for you, and not Space Jam either, even though Kingpin is another one. I'll be back next week. Next up, John Kincaid from Atlanta here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.